If you have your Bible, will you take it with me, please, and turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, a warning for Judah as they make peace with Assyria. And the difficulties that they faced are similar to the ones that we face today. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 20. And let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word and its faithfulness to us, for if it were not for your word, we would be blind and deaf and dumb. And so, Lord, we open ourselves up to your Spirit. We pray that he would come and teach us, that he would bless our hearts, that he would speak to each one of us individually in whatever need we might have. Walk through us with this time, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Dr. L.S. Bauman, one of the early Brethren leaders way back there in 1914, was the person who brought the teaching of God's Word when a group of small people decided that they were going to begin this church. There was no building to enjoy then. There was a tent right here where we're standing today. And they met in that tent for a year. One of Dr. Bauman's first sermons delivered in that tent was entitled Bed Too Short, Covers Too Narrow, a title taken from, surprisingly, the 28th chapter of Isaiah, verse 20. Now, I know for certain that if Dr. Bauman was here today, I would not be called upon to be preaching this morning. But since he has gone on to glory, and since his notes are subject and lost, I felt safe enough to speak on the same subject that he did way back there some 100 years ago. So we begin by reading the passage together, and then we'll take a few observations from it. Isaiah chapter 28, and let's begin at verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the level. Then hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the secret place. Your covenant with death will be canceled, and your pact with Sheol will not stand. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, then you become its trampling place. As often as it passes through, it will seize you, for morning after morning it will pass through, any time during the day or night, and it will be sheer terror to understand what it means. The bed is too short on which to stretch out, and the blanket is too small to wrap oneself in. For the Lord will rise up as at Mount Perazim. He will be stirred up as in the valley of Gibeon to do his task, his unusual task. And to work his work, his extraordinary work. And now do not carry on as scoffers, or your fetters will be made stronger. For I have heard from the Lord of hosts of decisive destruction on all the earth. I guess I start out by thinking about visiting other people. We've had lots of visitors this summer, and it's been a lot of fun. But have you ever gone to somebody's house to stay overnight, or been out camping, perhaps, in a tent, and you discovered that the place that they gave you, or the place that you prepared for yourself, it was impossible to sleep there. I mean, you just couldn't do it. It wasn't going to happen. There's a rock in your back, perhaps, where you put your tent, because you weren't paying attention when you did it. You know, you had hot dogs to think about. And so there you were. There's a rock, and it seems like every time you move around to get away from the rock, it moves with you. Have you noticed that? Rocks kind of just sit there, and when they get covered up with a sleeping bag, then they can move. It's the truth. So you lay on that bed, and you lay there, and the longer you lay there, the more miserable you become. Sleep evaded you, and rest was elusive at best. And when you got up the next day, you were sore, and you were miserable, and you were cranky, and your friends didn't help. They commented on how tired you looked. You have bags under your eyes. Yeah, they're always there. Rest was impossible. What could be more grueling to a good night's rest, then a bed is too short, and to top it all off, not even enough cover to keep you warm. You get in your mind's eye, it's a sad picture when we think of a man trying to sleep in a child's bed. There he is, all scrunched up. Can you picture that in your mind? All scrunched up. He can't stretch out far enough to be comfortable. The footboard get in your way, and you can't even get stretched out. And when you finally do get stretched out, you know, with the footboard cutting off the circulation to your feet, and then you try to cover yourself, and the blanket is about the size of a postage stamp, and you can't get under it, you can't get warmed by it, nothing is going to keep you warm. Not enough cover to keep you warm, not enough bed to lie on. It's a sad picture, isn't it? But there's a spiritual lesson, I think, in this 28th chapter of Isaiah. There's a spiritual lesson that we need to hear about in these perilous times, because, brothers and sisters, we live in perilous times. All around us, this word picture of a too short and too small bed continues to be the obvious result of mankind and his independent ideas. And to bring it close to home, it is exactly what the United States problem is today. They are trying to lay in something that is too short and too small. Day after day, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, mankind has had the uncanny determination to do life in his own way, ignoring God's clear direction, by making up his own rules in direct violation of God's laws, and living according to his own standards until he becomes weakened to the point of death through his own lust. The Lord told the leaders of his day, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. So when was it that the problem began? Well, certainly it wasn't in Isaiah's time, was it? I mean, this has been a problem all through time. This too short bed and this blanket too small concept began way back there at the beginning of creation, back there in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were told by the serpent, oh, go ahead, eat the avocado. It won't hurt you. God didn't really mean it. He wasn't trying to tell you anything but to cheat you out of something, something you don't understand, something you don't know, and you're going to be just like God. And in spite of the fact that God commanded them not to ever eat from it, they ate. And then they blamed each other. And then they blamed God. Sound familiar? It sounds like today, does it not? You see it on the news all the time. What was the problem there in the Garden of Eden? The problem is that the lie is that you can know everything. You can know everything. And you can become godlike. And you can be in control of all that is around you. And how much sleep have we lost thinking that we have any control at all? You see, there was a bed too short and a cover too small. Well, not too many decades later, the Lord makes a binding promise, a generational promise, a promise of salvific importance. And who does he make the promise to? You know, Abraham. He makes the promise to Abraham, and God's promise is clear and very concise in Genesis 15, beginning at verse 5. And God took him outside, and he said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars if you're able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Then he believed the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. But Abraham and Sarah did something very interesting that I think we all tend to do. They started looking down. Now, I don't know what happens to you when you look down, but here's what happened to them. They started looking down, and what did they see? They saw wrinkles instead of stars. That's the truth. They decided to fulfill God's promise on their own, and the result of their short-sightedness, the result of the lack of holding God or holding themselves accountable to God was Ishmael. And the result we are facing today is one of the greatest problems in our world from now until it ends. What was the problem there as Abraham and Sarah heard God? They took things into their own hands. They went outside of God's plan. And when you go out of sight, out of God's plan, When you go to your own sight and to the things that you can see, not to the things that are unseen, that, my friends, is a bed too short and a cover too small. Now, if these two stories aren't enough, we move ahead. After 430 years in Egypt, Moses comes into the scene with a message from the Lord God. I mean, God spoke to him directly. And as a result of Moses' ministry, as he goes and he obeys God, Israel's delivered from the hand of Egypt. And what a wonderful story is. We all, I loved it years ago when Tom used to sing that Larry Norman song. I almost called him and had him come and do it today, but, you know. Israel's delivered from the hand of Egypt by the power of God. But looking back at them, the Apostle Paul writes this scathing evaluation. Listen to what he says in Romans 10. But as for Israel, God says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. So we find the children of Israel out there in the wilderness, and not too long there, by the way. And it's only a 10-day journey from where they entered the wilderness to going into the promised land. And how long did it take them? 40 years. A 10-day journey in 40 years. Something was wrong with their GPS. In Numbers chapter 11, let me point out to you what the problem was. Here it is. We remember, this is the children of Israel saying, we remember the fish that we used to eat for free in Egypt. The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There is nothing to look at except this manna. Moses got it. In Hebrews 11, which we have been studying lately, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God, and by the way, by the people of God, rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. What was wrong with them out there in the wilderness? What was the problem? Listen, and this is important for us to think about today. Israel was so steeped in the privileges of prosperity, they were unwilling to receive the provision that the Lord was offering, the fish, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic of Egypt were more precious to them, more preferable than the manna sent from heaven. The problem? Not willing to accept God's provision and wanting more than he provides was a bed too short and a cover too small. Well, time goes on. The Lord Jesus comes to Israel with his message from God. And he begins to preach, I am the one promised to you through Abraham. Read the Old Testament. You'll find me in there. And he says that over and over again to the religious leaders and to the people as well. I am your salvation. And he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And they won't hear of it. He comes and he bears the message to Nicodemus. You remember that back in John, the third chapter? For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. And would Israel receive their Messiah? Would they hear the words of life and live? And the answer is, sadly, a resounding no, no way. And Jesus stands at Jerusalem and he cries out in Matthew chapter 23, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I would wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. What was the problem? The problem is this. Israel made up their own religion. They made up their own rules, hundreds of them. They had gone their own way, having their own ideas about God. They made up their own God. And I want to submit to you this morning, that's sort of like the golden calf, isn't it? That the children wandering in the wilderness made. Israel truly made a philosophical, religious golden calf as Jesus cried out to them, "Come to me, come to me." And the result is they refused God's salvation. "Let his blood fall upon us and upon our children," was their cry. What was the problem? The bed was too short and the covers too small. Well, so here we are today. 100 years after Dr. Bauman spoke to our forefathers from the text of Isaiah 28:20. And there is a spiritual application for us today as well. Many times, many people who are living contrary to the will of God are made miserable by the teaching and the application of God's word. And if you expect to be a friend of the world, just get over it. You're not going to be a friend of the world. There is going to be more and more hatred poured out upon the church, the true church of Jesus Christ, as time goes on in these United States. People who are living in sinful relationships, people who teach and practice false doctrine, people who in the pursuit of happiness degrade themselves through lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life. And brothers, if you get in the way, you are going to get beat. That's just the way it is. And the result of our preaching the gospel is that people become offended and they are made miserable by the fact that they are not approved of God because of their compromise and because of their rebellion. May that not be true of we who understand the gospel. May we live obediently to what we know. It is a miserable place to lie down in the place where you are opposed to the truth. As long as his word is preached, there is no place to rest. All of the ideas and inventions about God are a bed too short and a cover too small. You can ignore God's word. You can remove God's word from all the public places. You can teach others falsehoods about God, and that falsehood is running rampant today. You can invent your own God. You can worship the creature rather than the creator. Environmentalism. Nevertheless, the truth as delivered to us from the God-breathed word does not change, and it will not change. Those who find themselves fighting against God have a bitter pill to swallow, but God will not accept anything less than man's obedience to his word. It matters not what public opinion may be. It doesn't matter what personal persuasion might be. These godless ideas press us on every side. They press us day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And yet, God is the one we must ultimately answer to for our handling of his precious word. Now let's make sure that our bed is made according to God's specifications. Then and only then can we lie down on a bed of true rest, covered with the warmth of God's peace. Turn with me to Psalm 4 for our closing scripture, the fourth psalm. And here it is. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and new wine abound. Get verse 8. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. How blessed we are, brothers and sisters, to know this God who has provided such wonderful salvation to us. How carefully we must walk so that we honor his word, so that we honor his son, so that we honor him. Let us, as we look forward to the years ahead, determine that God's word will stand firm in our hearts and firm in our message, so that men and women and boys and girls who have not yet heard will hear, and they will receive the peace and joy and rest that God offers. Let's pray. Lord, as we have thought this morning about being uncomfortable with what we have come to believe, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to dedicate ourselves once again to the fact of your revelation, that you have been very careful in revealing yourself to mankind. You have been very careful in giving us your written word. You have been very careful in revealing your Son to us through your Holy Spirit. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would seriously consider being serious about our relationship to you and about the message that you have given us to bear. May we rest. May we find rest in you. We thank you in Jesus' name.